You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Tough loss for Arkansas Saturday, 95-73 down at Auburn. I heard somebody say over the weekend that in the NBA you call these scheduled losses because, you know, just the way it worked out on the schedule. Auburn playing its second straight home game, obviously had that loss to Texas A&M earlier in the week. Arkansas playing the back end of two straight road games. Ole Miss, they beat last week in the midweek, and then they go to Auburn and they lose. But even in scheduled losses, you would expect the team to play better. And after the game, you heard John Calipari kind of pulling out the greatest hits. We're going to burn the tape. This isn't my team. You know, I mean,
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, not going to watch the film. And Anthony Christensen's here with me. Anthony, you were down there just as you've had a couple of days and one heck of a long drive back to Fayetteville. I can't believe you drove. But as you've had a couple of days to kind of digest what happened, how do you put your finger on why things went so poorly for Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, I think first you have to give credit to Auburn. I thought that was the best I had seen Auburn play this season by a healthy margin.
And Stephen Pearl said the same.
Yeah, I've watched a decent amount of those games, just kind of waiting for everything to click, because there's a lot of talent on that roster. You look at, you know, Tahad Pettiford and Keyshawn Murphy, and, you know, Keyshawn Hall obviously had a great game as well, But I think, yeah, first, all credit, I think, should go to Auburn. It was by far Auburn's best defensive game of the season, I thought, just because, I mean, they clogged the lane really well. They didn't allow Arkansas to get any clean looks from three, didn't allow, you know, really anything. I mean, they held Darius Acuff to one assist, which was his season low. And, you know, if you can keep him limited like that, you're going to give yourself a chance if you're an opponent of Arkansas. So I thought Auburn was phenomenal. And then conversely, I thought it was probably the worst that we've seen Arkansas look this season, by a pretty healthy margin, maybe aside from the 21-2 run against Houston. Mm-hmm. But even then, in that Houston game, they fought back and kind of made it, you know, semi-interesting there at the end. This game was just, after I think the first two media timeouts, mm-hmm. this game just was never a contest.
There was a 15-3 run. And Arkansas never had a response to that run. I think after that point, maybe the closest they got was 8 points. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like, you know, every time you kind of thought, okay, maybe they're going to make – and I don't think you ever had that feeling like, hey, they're about to make a run here. It was more mm-hmm. like, this is the time for them to make a run.
But it's not
and it
coming.
Just, and it just never came.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel good about it. You didn't feel good about it happening. Darius Acuff didn't play his best game. Now, I think he ended up with, what, 19 points?
Yeah, 19 points.
Which is kind of, mm-hmm. I mean, that tells you something about the level of expectation he set for himself. When he has 19 points, and now he only had one assist, mm-hmm. but he has 19 points, you're like, that's all right. You know, a lot of times it's like, hey, that's, but with him, it's, you know, like, he set a different bar. I thought, not just at Auburn on Saturday, and all three of these games were at home, but I thought Arkansas at Auburn, Tennessee at Florida. And I know Mississippi State is a step down from Tennessee and Arkansas, but even Mississippi State
maybe,
at Kentucky.
Maybe a few steps down.
But even Mississippi State at Kentucky, I thought, you know, all of them won by 20-something points, 24 in those other two, 22 mm-hmm. in the Arkansas game. It was a good reminder of these teams that have talent, when they can get it going,
they're on their home floor,
they can really, you know, like we talk about, hey, is Vanderbilt the favorite? Is Alabama the favorite? And Alabama had a bad loss at home to Texas. You know, Arkansas had its loss. Like we can talk about all the favorites. I still say those three teams, Kentucky, Florida, Auburn, watch out for all three of them, because maybe they don't win the conference, but they may have a big say as to who wins the conference, because I don't think this is the only weekend that they're going to, you know, pick some teams off like this.
No, absolutely. And you look at all those teams, there's talent on all of them, right? I mean, there's talent on every team in the league. I mean, you probably look at Mississippi State or Ole Miss probably being on paper the least talented teams on the roster or in the league, and you still have Josh Hubbard at Mississippi State, you still have Malik Dia at Ole Miss, and, you know, those are still teams that can go out and win some games. Ole Miss beat, you know, a Missouri team that came in with some momentum, beating both Kentucky and Florida, and Ole Miss got that win. So, yeah, there's parity across the league. I think that's something that's pretty evident. And it seems like there's a lot of parity just in college basketball in general right mm-hmm. now. I mean, Michigan lost to Wisconsin, you know, Iowa State, got, you know, a decent game out of Oklahoma State this weekend. And, you know, Arizona's kind of just beating the crap out of everybody. But Purdue had a contest, I guess, against Penn State, and that Penn State team is not very good. So There's a lot of parity just throughout college basketball this season, which is awesome to watch. Makes for fun viewing. But yeah, I think, you know, it's Vanderbilt and the rest right now in the SEC, which is not something I expected.
Well, there's actually two undefeated teams in the SEC right now. Do you know the other?
It is Vanderbilt, and it is let me run through. I should know this off the top of my head, but
you got 2 seconds.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It's Texas A&M.
Oh, I was going to get that.
Yeah, Buckyball, Texas A&M could easily have a loss because of what happened at Auburn.
What happened at Auburn.
I think what happened in the Auburn A&M game had a huge impact on what happened in the Auburn Arkansas game.
Arkansas
was stepping into a hornet's nest.
Yeah, and John Calipari said it. You know, Auburn was desperate for something, right? I mean, Auburn was 0-2 in the SEC, and you know, arguably could have been or should have been 2-0. I mean, you look at the Georgia game, mm-hmm. you look at the Texas A&M game. Those are two games that Auburn could have won, and I felt like the Arkansas game was the game where Auburn just put it all together. Everything just kind of came together for if only for just that one night. But you know, I was just impressed with Auburn's all around game. Like Stephen Pearl said, like I just said, it was Auburn's best game of the season, I thought, and I was thoroughly impressed with just about everything Auburn did.
Keyshawn Hall had 30 points, 11 for 14. What did you make of the comments that he made afterward that basically said it was personal against Arkansas? Because, and correct me if I say this wrong, but basically he said that he felt like Arkansas did not recruit him hard enough, like there were other mm-hmm. players that they were more interested in.
Yeah, that's I think pretty much verbatim what he said, and you know, recruiting's a very weird world, especially nowadays. So, good players like him are going to, find ways to, I guess, give themselves a little extra motivation. If that's the way he needed to do it, then, he did the right thing for himself and for his team, right? I mean, he was phenomenal in that game, and he's been phenomenal all season, right? I mean, he's right now probably a first-team all-conference guy just because, I mean, he's just... He does everything. I mean, he's a great driving threat. He's good from the 3-point line. He's a good defender. He can, he gets a good amount of assists. I think he had 5 against Arkansas. You know, he leads Auburn in both, points and rebounds. And, mm-hmm. He's a threat from everywhere. He's a good defender too. So, he's just a great player. And, I think that, guys like that are going to, find ways to give themselves extra motivation if and when it's needed. And, that I guess if how much of a slight he actually felt in the recruiting process from Arkansas, I'm not sure, but if he clearly used it as some sort of motivation, and it very clearly worked out in his favor, and he was he looked untouchable that game, and really against Texas A&M too, he was phenomenal in that game too.
I'm concerned about Arkansas's defense, and I have been for a while now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would even go back to. They played okay against Louisville. Louisville mm-hmm. shot way too many threes in that game, but they shot like 41. But Houston, I thought, really exposed some things defensively mm-hmm. for Arkansas. And then, 3 games into SEC play now, what is it, 85, 86, and 95 they've given up? Or
85, 87, 95.
Yeah, so but the point being, they've given up a ton of points, especially mm-hmm. in these last two against Ole Miss and Auburn. I thought Auburn beat Arkansas at its own game. The mm-hmm. transition offense for Auburn was great. And Calipari said after the game that, why is that? Well, Arkansas, they weren't driving. They mm-hmm. they weren't getting to the free throw line. They shot. And the stats can look a little misleading, the final stats. You look at it, Arkansas is 8 for 21 from 3. It's like, well, that's not too many threes. They shot 17 of them in the first half. Yeah. They were settling for too many threes. They could not keep Auburn from driving to the basket. They couldn't run Auburn off the 3-point line. I mean, it felt like the first half. It was like Murphy's Law for Arkansas, and especially after that second media timeout. It's like whatever could go wrong is going to go wrong for this team. It's the defense, I think, is a concern. But I think that what helps Arkansas defensively is doing those things like driving to the basket, getting to the line. The things that you can do offensively, if you make the other team work defensively, that helps you on the other end of the floor. And I felt like Arkansas did a lot of things on Saturday that just didn't make Auburn, have to work very hard on the defensive end. And that certainly led to a lot of those transition baskets they had.
And I think some of it also goes back to Auburn's approach as well. I mean, they were clogging the lane and really just making driving almost not an option for Arkansas and kind of forced them to try to beat them from the three-point line, which is something Arkansas can do. I mean, the number 13 three-point shooting team in the country, but you look at the distribution of shots, Arkansas is number 180 in three-point attempt percentage. So, you know, yeah, they shoot them very well typically when they shoot them, but they don't shoot a ton of them. So it does kind of...
And they take better looks
than they were
taking at Auburn. Everything felt forced. Or not everything, but a lot felt forced.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, Auburn was, I guess, making them uncomfortable in that area of the game. You look at the amount of free throws Arkansas gets. You know, if Arkansas is top 100, top 90-ish in free throw rate, I believe, in the country. So you get... You basically take a ton of that away, and Auburn, I thought, did a great job with that on its own defensive side. And then you look at Arkansas defensively, you know, John Calipari's talked about, you know, the need to get better, you know, in pick and roll situations. I thought, you know, they really struggled guarding against high ball screens and you know, in those areas. And then the paint defense, I thought, was bad. Mm. So if I remember correctly,
Pringle out of foul trouble.
Yeah, and that was tough. And you know, if I remember correctly, Auburn outscored Arkansas in the paint. It was 48-28, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And I mean, it was just Auburn got whatever it wanted. You know, driving, like you said, kind of beating Arkansas at its own game. But then also Auburn had the opportunity to throw it in to Keyshawn Murphy whenever he was there, and you know he could put up some easy points. And you know, they were driving, you know, Elijah Freeman had a really nice drive. If I'm not mistaken, it came off a high ball screen and got to the rim just almost unimpeded and got a big dunk near the end of the first half. So it was a lot of, you know, that kind of stuff. And the defense, you know, it has been concerning, and I think it's been concerning from an Arkansas standpoint in a few different ways. I mean, you look at, you know, the Winthrop game, they really couldn't guard the perimeter. And some of that, you know, it obviously does sometimes come down to teams are just hitting shots or teams are just finding good looks. But, you know, you want to be, I guess, better against a team like that. Obviously, Auburn, it was everything. You know, sometimes that's just something that happens. But, you know, even, you know, James Madison hadn't really been shooting all that well and got 74 points. And, you know, Queen scored 80. So there are some concerns. Arkansas's defense is number 73, excuse me, in the country, and right now through the three conference games, it's 14th of the 16.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
that 73 number probably has gone down pretty significantly since before they played Houston, I would think.
I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I would assume so. Yeah, after the Auburn game, it went from 61 to 73. So
it's worth noting the SEC is the most offensive league in the country this year. I mean, like this, like, you know, part of what's going on, I think, with Arkansas is just a byproduct of no different than what Arkansas is doing to opposing defenses in a lot of games. It's just, you've got some really high, you know, caliber offenses.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think maybe this has changed, but entering SEC play, I mean, Georgia was the highest scoring team in the country. And some of that does kind of come down to, you know, who teams played in the non-conference, and you know, some teams challenge themselves more than others. And yeah, every team in the league can score.
But I think you're seeing it even in the conference games. I mean, look at the finals on Saturday, 92-68, 92-88, 76-69 in Ole Miss, Missouri, 95-73, the Arkansas game, 83-76, A&M over OU, 75-70, Georgia over South Carolina, Vanderbilt 84-73 over LSU, and Florida scored 91 to Tennessee 67. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I didn't count there, but I would guess that's probably about six teams that scored 90 or more, or right at 90, close to it.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, really potent offenses, like we've said, and I mean, I think just about every team in the league can pour it on a different, you know, on any given night. I mean, even you look at, you know, a team like, you know, Oklahoma per se, like, I mean, that team has, you know, scored in the 80s in two of its three games, and you know, kind of got worked by Mississippi State, oddly enough, in the other one. And, you know, Mississippi State is a team that can pour it in, especially when Josh Hubbard gets hot. So, I mean, just all throughout the league, there's going to be, you know, guys, individual guys who can hurt you and teams in general who can hurt you. So, you know, it's not necessarily stunning to see them put up these kinds of numbers throughout, you know, up and down the league. So, but yeah, no, it's. I believe it's the highest scoring conference of any of the leagues this season. So, you know, there's a lot of offensive talent in the league, and you know, once you get into, you know, postseason play, you know, that then it kind of becomes a question of defense and stuff like that, because the SEC didn't necessarily perform all that well against the other power conferences. I'm yapping now, so I'll stop.
Well, I was just gonna say, it's kind of telling that 83-75 felt like a low-scoring game
yeah.
the other day. yeah. I want to tell you about Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. You can choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products at 507 South Main in Bentonville, or BentonvilleGlass.com. I don't think you can talk about Arkansas-Auburn without mentioning that Carter Knox missed most of the game. Only played 7 minutes, left with a hip pointer. Calipari said after the game that he said, from what I hear, he took a pretty good shot when, I guess, an Auburn player fell on him. Mm-hmm. We had a photographer at the game on the baseline, and he was texting me. He said, you know, he could overhear Carter saying, I can't jump. And, you know, so he was having a lot of trouble, you know, certainly in that game. And it's one of those games where, like, you hate to lose Carter Knox, but you don't, you know, like you want to have Carter Knox right, you know, down the line. And so I can certainly see why they were very careful. And maybe it was a significant injury. We simply don't know. A hip pointer,
They can keep you out a while
or something, and, you know, that you can come back from.
Yeah.
But, you know, without Knox, you know, you talk about Pringle didn't play well defensively and struggled to keep himself on the floor. You know, Malik Ewan he's a good rebounder. I don't know that he's a good defender. Knox he's an okay defender. And I think that you talk about they get beat 48-28 in the paint. You wonder how much that changes if Carter Knox is able to play a full, you know, 32, however many minutes that he usually plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's obviously a significant loss. And, you know, John Calipari didn't give any details about, you know, the extent of the injury or how serious it was. And maybe, obviously, you don't
necessarily know. We don't know the severity. We just know that he only played 7 minutes.
Yes, so, but... Yeah, I mean, we got to talk to Malik Ewan after the game, and I asked him about how significant of a loss that was, you know, just, you know, in the context of just that one game, and he's just like, it was huge. I mean, you look at the way Carter Knox, even though his scoring and rebounding numbers maybe aren't what was expected in the preseason, you know, he's still a guy who affects a lot of things, you know, on both sides of the ball. So, you know, defensively, I thought it was a big miss, and I think you could... You know, I think you could tell just because of how one-sided that game ended up being. But, yeah, it's a huge miss, you know, especially if it's something that keeps him out for, you know, for a while. I don't believe we get an SEC availability report today. I don't think so.
But, probably, you know, tomorrow.
We'll get one, I'm sure, just kind of in the lead-up to that South Carolina game. You know, hopefully he can play. You know, you never want to see any player get injured, but... You know, it'd be a cool moment for the Knox family, I'm sure, to see him and Kobe Knox play against each other when South Carolina comes to town. But yeah, it's concerning, I think, is the word if you're looking at it from an Arkansas perspective.
That Auburn Arena, what is it called now? Neville Arena?
Neville Arena.
Yeah, it was Auburn Arena for the longest time. But you know, it only seats about 9,100, but everybody talks about how just kind of intimidating it is. It's not a whole lot smaller than Barnhill Arena was. And obviously Barnhill was what it was. Duke, it's got about, what, 9,000 seats at Cameron Indoor. So, you know, the size does not necessarily equal in intimidation. But I wonder, you were in there, what was the atmosphere like?
Was it kind of what you
expected it would be like?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I was telling, you know, Matt and Hank, who were obviously on the trip with me, you know, like Neville Arena is one of my favorite arenas to go to in the SEC of the ones I've been to. And after this season, I'll have checked off all the boxes, which I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I mean, it was a great environment, I thought. And, you know, like I always say, it's not something that I don't really pay that much attention to the environments, or at least I try not to, just because, I mean, I'm not there to, I guess, take in the environment there. I'm there to write about basketball, but you know, sometimes it is something that's noticeable, and I thought it definitely was in that game. And you know, it was a lot of fun. I think you could tell, you know, the fan base there was, you know, hungry for something like that. Was hungry for, you know, a big time win, and you know, to get moving in SEC play. And you know, it's a neat little arena. I like it a lot. It's, you know, you can get from the top to the bottom in like 3 minutes, which is nice. But yeah, no, it's a cool little arena, and you know, the media room's kind of packed because there's a lot of people who cover the team. So there was a ton of people in there, and you know, it's a neat arena. It's a good environment and all that. Yeah,
that's amazing how much things have changed. I've never been to a game there, but I did go walk around the arena, and I think this was right before it opened. I was at an Arkansas-Auburn football game down there, and we got down there well beforehand, and you could walk into the arena, and it's just crazy to think about what Auburn basketball was thought of then, which was an afterthought, and just how far that program has come. And it's like Bud Walton, they opened it, and that was a national championship year, the first year they opened it. And then Bud Walton has just kind of had this mystique and this charm since then, which I think is largely – well, I mean, I think that it's partially based on the success that they had there very early. Mm-hmm. It's just weird how that works in maybe reverse there at Auburn. Mm-hmm. Arkansas plays South Carolina on Wednesday night. We'll have a show where we preview that game a little bit later in the week. But for people who don't know much about South Carolina, what would you tell them?
Yeah, it's going. I mean, South Carolina.
Are they better than last year?
It's hard to be worse than last year. But yeah, I would say so. I mean, they haven't lost anybody like terrible. You know, they gave Georgia a really good game the other day.
Well, they're 1-2 in SEC play. Real quick, they're 1-2. Both of their losses are at home, but to ranked teams, Vanderbilt and Georgia by 12 and 5 points, and then they went to LSU. In the midweek last week, and won by 10.
Road win, and so I mean they're not losing to bad teams. I mean, on paper you'd look at it and say, I guess Virginia Tech or Butler or Northwestern. No, those are teams that you don't obviously want to lose to, especially the Virginia Tech game at home. You know, I do think they're better than they were last year. I mean, I think Kobe Knox has been a nice addition for them coming up from USF, and you know, Michi Johnson coming back after going to Ohio State, after being he's gone back and forth and back and forth between Ohio State and South Carolina.
Has he made more moves than Keyshawn Hall?
I don't know if it's more moves, because I think it's because he's gone. Let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah, because Keyshawn Hall,
he's been at four schools in four years. Now,
didn't he play at multiple high schools too?
That I do not know.
I think he played at multiple high schools. I think he went from a high school to a prep school.
Now
so it may legitimately be like six schools in 6 years for him.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but with Michi Johnson, so he's in his fifth year of college basketball. He started his first year 2 years at Ohio State, transferred to South Carolina 2 years, then went back to Ohio State and is now back at South Carolina.
So he's a sixth year guy.
Yeah. So he's
goodness.
He's going. Yeah, so I don't know. It's funny.
Arkansas is number 17 in the AP poll.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you have them?
20.
20.
Yeah, I had them 20. I felt like it was necessary to put Auburn above Arkansas, just at least for this week, just because of how much better Auburn was in that game than Arkansas. Mm. And Auburn also hasn't lost anybody bad by any means, so it's not like it's like an egregious pick.
Well, they haven't lost any bad teams. They've gotten bad losses.
Yeah, they've gotten killed in some games, but they haven't lost any bad teams. But yeah, so I've got Auburn 19, Arkansas 20, just to kind of respect what Auburn did, and you know how long that stays the case is what it is. But yeah, I was the highest voter on Auburn this week, so you're welcome to the Plains, I guess.
But are they unranked?
They are unranked. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Arkansas number 17. You can read all of Anthony's Razorback basketball coverage at our website, wholehogsports.com. Razorback baseball preseason began today at Baumwalker Stadium. We got baseball coverage at our website. We know a lot of people on here who listen to our podcast are big baseball fans. Hope you'll come to our website to read our baseball coverage as well. Hope to see you at our website or on the show tomorrow. Have a great day.